Today was media day at Raymond James Stadium, where thousands of credentialed reporters descended upon all the Arizona Cardinals and Pittsburgh Steelers for sound bites. It was also media day with the top media who will be broadcasting Sunday night's championship football game, which this year, for the first time in a decade, is on NBC. WMNF had the opportunity to speak with Keith Olbermann, best known now as the host of the popular liberal primetime cable news show Countdown. But Olbermann's deep roots in sportscasting still remain, as he's a member of the NBC pregame show each Sunday night. We asked him about potential political differences he might have with some of his on-air, perhaps more conservative colleagues, such as fellow broadcaster Chris Collingsworth.
What I find when you do see politics in sports, almost everybody in sports is a little bit more malleable than sort of textbook liberal or conservative. I know Chris for 15 years. This is the second place we've worked together. We share the same birthday. He and I don't agree politically.
Is that today?
It is today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. We are 100 between us. He's the kid. I'm 3 hours older than he is. He is... he's curious. He wants to know why you think the way you think that way. A huge percentage of my friends in sports are conservative. And
isn't it kind of a conservative world? Sports seems
tends,
to.
Well, it tends to be. I mean, it tends to be. I think that's a pretty good generalization. But you know, every once in a while, you'd be surprised where you find it otherwise. And a guy will come up and like totally surprise you. Lou Piniella watches Countdown every night. I never would have guessed that off the top of my head, knowing him just in a sports context for 30 years. But these guys, sports is like a shared language that a lot of sort of doctrinaire liberals and conservatives don't have in the political world, in the media world. There's none. That's the real problem with it. There are no similar terms we can use. And in sports, we always have that. One of my great friends is Joe McGrain, who until this year, I guess, has done the Rays games from the beginning of time. And Joe is insanely conservative. And we've never had a conversation that even touched on politics that did not end with him calling me a pinko and me calling him a fascist. And the next thing, we just dissolve into laughter and say, let's just go back and talk about sports again. So that's where it's different, because the sports provides kind of this automatic, shared, okay zone. It's a safe territory kind of thing.
Let me ask you about Countdown. I watched the show last night, and you mentioned your opening, how many days since Mission Accomplished. Is it time to maybe turn the page on that with the Obama administration now in play, or is it still fair for you to continue to talk about George W. Bush?
Well, we still have troops there. They are still endangered, and from my perspective, there really wasn't any reason for them to be there. And as long as they're there, we're going to continue to do that, because we have been told, that's over. That's all cleared up now. And that was May 1st of 2003. And sadly, it was anything but. I wish it had been true. I wish it had been literally correct. Didn't happen that way. So until they're out, yeah. I mean, or something worse happens and we change that to some other sort of association. But I think it's important, especially as the volume of casualties drops, and hopefully that continues to drop down to zero. Doesn't mean people aren't being affected and their lives changed permanently. It's important to remember them. We're not talking about Iraq every day.
No, but we may be talking about Afghanistan, and that seems like Obama's Iraq, or it could be, or his Vietnam. Some worry about that. I heard Robert Gates say today, you can't really fix Afghanistan ultimately here. He won't say. I always thought he was like talking back to Obama about this, because we've heard Obama campaign trail more troops, but a lot of people think 30,000 more troops, that's really not going to do the job. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about that?
It's hard to say, because we clearly were going in the right direction there, and things kind of got sidetracked, to say the least, by redeploying those resources into Iraq. I do not know what would happen. I think if I knew, I'd probably be telling either Mr. Gates or the president exactly that. I do know that if there's disagreement there in what the mission is or what will work and what won't work, that it's much more likely we'll hear about it and it will be accepted healthily on both ends than it was in the previous administration, where that, if a defense secretary had said that publicly, and it seemed as it did to you to be a genuine disagreement, he wouldn't have been defense secretary for much longer. He probably would never have been given the job to begin with. And, you know, the president said, I want people in here who will disagree with me and challenge me. And I think that's probably what we're seeing there.
You've had a lot of people on your show recently talking about torture, of course, which is a big issue, whether the Obama administration will go after the CIA guys or further up. And also NSA, you've done a lot with that lately. Obama, as you know, wants to be, you know, turn the page perhaps, wants to move on forward. Others say, you can't do that, Mr. President. There's been too much that's been done here in the name of our country. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it has been suggested in several ways that going backwards and cleaning the stables is unavoidable for two reasons. One, in terms of whatever torture was actually done, we are obligated by treaty to investigate that ourselves. And if not, we cede the right to investigate that ourselves to other authorities. And, you know, unless we want somebody dragged in front of The Hague, you know, the UN Grand Rapporteur said about this last week that he really hopes this country does something about it, because otherwise the UN will have to consider doing so. The other part, of course, is every time we've ever compromised with things that have gone wrong in our past, they've come back worse. I mean, we've compromised on everything going back to slavery at the Declaration of Independence. And when it is unresolved, you can say, okay, it's over now. We're not going to have it anymore. We wind up in a civil war, or at the end of the civil war, we wound up saying, you know, this is all settled now, and it wasn't. It is an unfortunate and sometimes painful thing, but, you know, if the fear is, oh, it's going to overwhelm a year or an administration, better it overwhelm a year or an administration than overwhelm 20 years or 10 administrations. And that's the other reason for going ahead.
Last question for you, I'll let other people talk to you. Some people have criticized your show for not having the other side on, as it were. And I think I've heard you say that those things don't really work. But what about if you just have, like, a conservative on, you know, not a count pointer?
Thank you.
What about that, or do you like the form that you've got going? You think it works for you the way you got it going?
Well, I did a debating society show, and it drove me crazy. Because what you get then is not a reasonable exchange of ideas or people presenting both viewpoints. You get two people yelling at each other and looking solely to score political points. I don't look for an echo chamber. I like to get people who can elaborate on ideas that I have. And also, for the most part, my guests are not principals. They're not advocates. They're journalists. And, you know, I don't want to make the mistake that I criticize others for so often, which is to assume I'm right all the time. But if I didn't think I was right most of the time, I wouldn't put this kind of show on the air with my name attached to it and my name on these opinions. So there is a point of view that I think I'm representing as part of the proverbial marketplace of ideas. The marketplace of ideas is full of the other opposing ideas. It is not like, the conservatives don't have a voice in media. It's really unfortunate. There is also the false god of quote-unquote balance. If I say the sun in the sky is a kind of golden yellow and you say it's bright green, do you get the same amount of time as I do? That's obviously an exaggerated version of it, but there's been a lot of arguments in the last 10 years that have been given equal time for exactly that reason. We must have two people to say. I remember when we did the original version of the show in 98, and I had somebody on, a Republican, who was opposed to impeachment. I was told we also had to have a Republican who supported impeachment. I said, wait a minute, the point of this is that this is a Republican who opposes impeachment at this current time with a Democratic president. Isn't that by itself a story? Can't we just let him finish his thought? And the answer was then no. The show had to be argumentative. So what you're looking for is people who want an argument and would prefer to see the heat rather than the light. And I'd like it the other way around, as often as I go for the heat. That's my department.